Today is such a love day for us because we have our family, which we have been praying for.
Yes.
And in the back there, we have our prayer charts that every Friday night, we have names there of all our family. And if your name is not there, just write it down, because every Friday we pray for all of our loved ones, because we desire for them to get saved. And so, you know, oftentimes when we talk, they're looking at how we live. And sometimes the way we live and the things we say just don't match up. So I believe that this is sometimes the reason why a lot of our family doesn't want to receive the message that we're sharing with them. So what we've learned is that we just let God take care. You be the example by the way you live. Don't talk, just live right for God, and God will take care of that situation. So I'm so thankful. Yesterday I did a memorial for my niece there at Waimea. And again, it was all of our loved ones that were there, and it was such so beautiful that we could hug and kiss and cry and, you know, just say, wow, long time no see, and just be happy that we're gathered together. You know, one of the greatest units on earth is the family unit. And if Satan cannot penetrate the family unit, there will be a loving relationship between all of the family. Because sometimes Satan enters and he causes dissension, unforgiveness, problems. And sometimes we cannot resolve these problems because the one that we hurt or the one that hurt us, we don't want to ask for forgiveness. We don't want to forgive when they ask us for forgiveness. But if there is forgiveness, unforgiveness in your life, you'll never make heaven your home. That's God's word.
Yes.
You will never make heaven your home. Because when you have unforgiveness in your heart, and that's where unforgiveness is, it's in your heart, what you do is you put that other person in a prison, and you yourself is in a prison too. So when there's unforgiveness, there needs to be repentance. We need to say forgive, and never mind who started the trouble. Doesn't matter who started the trouble, but what matters to God is who wants to make right. And so I just wanted to share that gem with all of you. Doesn't matter if you're family or not, but yeah. So this morning, I'm going to read several passages of scripture, because the title of my message is Being Blessed by God. Being blessed by God. Just turn to somebody and say, being blessed by God.
Yes.
Are you being blessed by God? Yes. Hallelujah. We're being blessed right here this morning. Yeah, we're being blessed.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. So, Father, all the glory and honor goes to you. And we say thank you, Lord, for who you are, for what you do in our lives, Lord. And, Father, most especially, thank you for salvation, full and free. Okay, would you, if you have a Bible, how many of you don't have a Bible? We get Bibles in the drawer. Would somebody get Bibles and pass Bibles to those that don't have a Bible so that they can read along with us? Now, how many of you heard the story about Job?
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Amen.
Now, we know what happened to Job. According to the book of Job, that's open to chapter 1. And let's look at the first verse. And we're going to have a picture of who this man, Job, was. verse 1 of chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect. He was upright and one that feared God, and he stayed away from evil. So we find all of these positive things about this man, Job. Yeah, number one, he was perfect. How many of you are perfect? Let me see your hands. Okay, yeah, okay. Otherwise, good thing you put your hand down, otherwise you would have to come over here and Auntie would pray for you. Okay, so upright, perfect, upright goes along with perfect. And then it says here, and one that feared God, he's not afraid of God, but he respects God. And he honors God. And then one that stayed away from evil. How many of you stay away from evil? Let me see your hand. You mean the rest all go towards evil? That's why there's a song we sing every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. The more time you spend with Jesus, the sweeter your life becomes. Hallelujah. Because he makes all the difference. He causes changes to take place in your life. Like Paul says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Only if you allow him. Yeah? A lot of people say, oh yeah, I know who God is. But do they really know God? To know God is to have a relationship with him. You need to have a relationship with him. So if you would bear with me, I'm going to be reading a few verses. And there was a day when Job's sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. So that's a good thing, when the siblings can all come together and eat at the same tables, which means that they have a good relationship. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside him. Now Job, at this point in history, was the wealthiest man on the face of the earth. He was the wealthiest man. So we're going to see exactly what he's going to lose. And there came a stranger, and the Sabaeans, he says, fell upon them and took them away. So there was this marauding group of people that came and took away his oxen that were plowing, and he took away his donkeys. And then they not only took away, they also killed all of the servants. And with the edge of the sword, and then his servant says, and I am the only one that escaped. Everybody else got killed. They took away your oxen, and they took away your donkeys. Chapter 1, verse 13. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God is falling from heaven and had burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only and escaped to tell this. So first of all, they were eating, and then somebody came, took the oxen, took the donkeys, and then another servant came and said, what happened was is that there was something else that happened. He said, the fire of God came down from heaven and burnt up all the sheep and servants and consumed them, and I only and escaped, have escaped. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans made out of three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away and slain the servants, and I am the only one that escaped. So now he's lost his oxen. And what else did he lose? Are you listening? The donkeys or the asses? And then what else? Camels. How about the sheep? The sheep. So slowly, it's all his animals, his herds, they're all disappearing. And then the servant said, and I'm the only one that survived. They killed all the servants too. While he was just speaking, there came another. And he says, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house, and there came a great wind from the wilderness and tore down the house from the four corners, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I am the only one that escaped. So he's lost all of his animals, and now he's lost all of his children. All his animals, everything that he owned is gone. And then his children, his sons and his daughters, they were all killed because their house fell down. Then Job arose and rent his clothes and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. So Job was an upright man. He was a perfect man. He stayed away from evil. And all of a sudden, all of these things are happening to him. You mean even if I live right? You mean even if I do right and I love the Lord, which says here that Job respected and feared God, and something like this happened? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I remember when my cousin lost her spouse. She was inconsolable. And for those of you that have lost spouses or children, I cannot tell you I understand, because I haven't lost a spouse. But I can see the pain. And I can see the questions. Now what? What am I going to do? And because we love, we feel. We may not fully understand, but we feel. Look at Job. He lost everything. And how did he respond to this, to all of these calamities? The Bible says he took off his clothes, he shaved his head, and he began to bow down and what? Worship. He fell to the ground and he worshiped. If we saw someone doing that after they lost a loved one, we would think, man, that person must be nuts. Well, that person must not love that person that just died. We would have questions and we would begin to judge. But what happens here is that our behavior matters. How we behave matters to God. Yes. Not only to God, but the people around you. They are watching, especially if you claim to be a Christian. They are watching what you're doing. They are watching what you're saying. They watch. Those who are in Christ must learn to invite Jesus to live in his, to live his life in and through them, so that they can increasingly please God and turn away from evil. Yeah. One of the important things that we need to do is accept Jesus. In fact, it's a necessity. Yeah. Because if you don't accept Jesus into your heart, you won't make heaven your home. Uh-huh. It's very simple. Jesus, let's repeat after me, those of you that haven't accepted Jesus. Repeat after me. Jesus, please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Make me the person that Paul says I can become. And from this moment on, Lord, live in me. Live big in me. Live through me, that others may see the change in my life. Amen. You know what you've just done? You've been born again. Amen. You've been born again. Hallelujah. And guess what? God's preparing a mansion for you.
Hallelujah.
Just like he's prepared a mansion for all of us who accepted him before you did.
Amen.
He says, I go and I prepare a place for you.
Thank
that
you,
where
Jesus.
I am. God loves us so much.
Yes.
I cannot tell you how much he loved us because I don't know how to love like him. I don't know how to love like him because I never gave up my son to die for me. I never gave up my son to die for you.
Yes.
Only he did. So only he knows how to love.
Yes.
In one day, Job plummeted from the pinnacle of prosperity to the pit of poverty. He was up here. He had everything he wanted, everything he desired. He had servants. He had thousands and thousands of animals. Oxen, camels, sheep, donkeys. He had everything a man could desire. And in one day, gone. And his children too. His children were all gone. He must have felt that all heaven and earth had turned against him. I would feel the same. If this happened to me, I would feel the same. Then the four rapid disasters that struck him came alternately from earth and heaven. So it wasn't only earth that had put a curse upon him, it came from heaven too. Fire came down, wind came down. Marauding sheep herders took everything that he owned. So first was his livestock and servants. Then from heaven, the fire of God. Then again from earth, the loss of the camel and servants. And then the climatic blow again from heaven, a great wind that demolished his house and killed his children. And so his servants are telling him which marauding band came. Their nomadic raiders came and took what he had, everything he had. But Job just threw himself down on the ground, and he began to worship God. See, when Satan steals from you, God will replace what Satan has stolen. And it will be double, triple, a hundredfold. Especially when you are a man that is upright, walks right with God, stays away from evil. God will restore. Because the devil comes to do how many things?
Steal.
That's all he does. That's all Satan does. He comes and he steals your joy. He steals your happiness. Then after he steals, he wants to destroy everything that you own, that God has blessed you with. And then in the end, he wants to kill you. But what did Jesus say? I am come.
You may have life.
And life what?
More abundantly.
More abundantly. Not barely. Abundant life. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaking together. Running over. You know when you fill up a cup of water, and as long as you leave the tap on, it's going to keep flowing over. That's how God wants to bless you.
Amen.
And when you put something in the bottle and you want to put more, you shake it like this so you can add more. That's God's method. That's what he does. He doesn't just barely bless us. He doesn't barely wants us to have a life. He wants our life to be abundant.
Yeah.
Abundant. Boy, oh boy, that's the kind of God we serve. So Job had to humble himself, and he accepted God's will without complaining or blaming God for his tragedy. You know, nowadays, people blame God for everything. If they get one hangnail, they blame God. Everything they blame him for. If things don't go right, they blame him. And you know what, God? He's up in the heavenlies, and if you were just born again, he's in here. He listens. And he allows us to complain. He allows us to grumble. Because you know what? A lot of times when we complain and we grumble, doesn't make the other person happy, but make us happy. Oh, yeah? Oh, wow. You know, okay, yeah, one of these days. Yeah, okay. Don't let me catch her in one dark alley. It makes us feel good that we said what we did. It makes us feel good. But Job acknowledged God's sovereign control. Yes, brothers and sisters, God has control of everything in your life. And once you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that the steps of a righteous man are what? Ordered by the Lord. If Jesus lives in your heart, every day, the things that you do have been orchestrated by Him.
Amen.
Because God is like a symphony conductor. I like that. I like that. You know how if you ever seen symphony, you know how conducts like this. Maybe goes like this, the tubas, and then the trombone, and then the drum, and then the cornets. Your turn, your turn, your turn. It's like a conductor. He orchestrates everything. And that's what God does. So when you get up in the morning, He's already got His baton. And He's going to start orchestrating events in your life. Some of them may not be too pleasing, but He will make up with the positive things that He will do for you throughout the day. Job's fall to the ground was not involuntary reflex of despair, but a deliberate act of humility before God. And that's what we need to do. We need to be humble before the Lord. So Job's initial response was an ideal example of how to respond in times of crisis. How to respond. Now that you have accepted Jesus into your heart, the Holy Spirit will direct you as to how you should respond.
Yeah.
Don't get all flabbergasted. Throw it in the towel. Going off the deep end. Just say, Lord, what shall I do, Lord? I don't know what to do. Lord, show me. And I tell you, in all honesty, God will show you what to do.
Yeah.
He will show you what to do. So God gives a realistic appraisal of His status. He tells us, He said, just as He came into the world naked, so He would leave it naked. He was stripped of everything. He says, naked I came into the world, naked will I return. That's true. I hope none of you are planning to take something with you when you draw your last breath. Because if you do, the undertaker at the funeral parlor, wow. Put all your diamonds with you. All your money with you. When the undertaker starts embalming you, or the crematory starts burning your body, you don't can take nothing with you.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
So you know what? Enjoy it now.
Yeah.
Enjoy it now.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good time. Yeah, enjoy it. Bless the Lord.
Yeah.
Send to missions.
Amen.
Give to the poor.
Amen.
Help us with our Thanksgiving luncheon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can never take it with you. Okay, I want us to look. I'm going to end this message in a few minutes. But I want us to look at the last chapter of Job. Turn to the last chapter of Job. And we're going to see what happened to Job after everything was lost. And by the way, you know what his wife told him when all this happened? The wife told him, sometimes just like a woman, Job, curse God and die. Curse him, lie down and die. Okay, so let's look at chapter 42. And we're going to see what happened. Now, there were three friends that sat with Job while he was going through this. And they were telling him, Job, you sinned. You did something. That's why God punishing you. And on and on, instead of helping him, they were like you know, adding insult to the pain that he already had, like rubbing Hawaiian salt into his kaki'os. And Job, he didn't say anything. He said, you know, he said, I did not sin, but I'm trusting the Lord. So the Lord told his three friends who were over there talking, blah, 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 blah. And half of the time, you know, even our friend, they don't know what they're talking about. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, and to his, unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, that's one of his friends, my wrath is, I am angry at you, Eliphaz, and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job had. You had the privilege to encourage him, but you have discouraged him. You have called him a sinner. You have blamed him. So the Lord said to his friend, I am upset at you. Therefore, take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job. Now you remember he lost everything. So now one of his friends, God tells him, you take 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourself a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept. Now you go over there and you make an offering, and Job gonna pray for you. Job will pray for you. After all you said to him, he's going to pray for you. Just like the Lord. And then Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Amen. You getting this? Everything was lost. Now he's doubling it up. God is doubling up for Job what was stolen by the enemy. And who is he using to provide all of that?
His
three friends. So you know what? If you stay talking with one friend who had, who's having a difficult time, maybe you shouldn't talk too much. Because God is hearing. And then came those unto him, all his brethren, his sisters, and all they that had been of his acquaintance before. They ate with him. They had a luau in his house, and they comforted him, that the Lord brought upon him every man who gave him a piece of money and every one an earring of gold. They brought money. They brought jewelry. Gold now. I don't see no copper or iron over here. It says gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep. Wow. Okay, how many sheep you get?
Zero.
So we cannot ask him anything about 14,000 sheep. He gets zero. 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels. This is the end result of what happened in the beginning of the book of Job. Everything was lost. And then 1,000 oxen and 1,000 she asses. We can say jackass or she ass, whatever. The donkeys. Wow. And he also 7. Wow. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. After he lost them all, the Lord blessed his wife's womb. And they had 10 children. Wow. Can you imagine that? Grasp that in your mind. A God is a God of blessing.
Yes.
Our God is a God of blessing. Our God is a God of restoration. God will restore what the enemy has taken from you. Am I speaking to someone today?
Yes.
Am I speaking to someone today? Has the enemy stolen from you? but he's going to have to give it back to you
and
more. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the enemy in the name of your son, Jesus. And Satan, you need to repay triple, even a hundredfold, what you have stolen from my brethren. What you have stolen, you need to restore. Because we serve a God of restoration. And we serve a God of blessings. And we serve a God of hundredfold. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so he had 10 children. And he called, he had names for all of them. Jemima, Kezia, Karen Hapuch. How many of you would name your daughter Karen Hapuch? And in all the land were no women found so fair. They were so beautiful. Wow. And then he had 7 sons. So Job died being old and full of days. What am I saying today, brothers and sisters? You cannot lose anything that God doesn't mean to give you better. God is in the blessing business. He's in the blessing business. You may not eat steak and lobster every day. Some days you have to eat fried. Well, who get lobster in the house? Anybody get lobster? Is it still lobster season?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
Aaron.
Why the pointing finger at you, Aaron? Yeah, he's a diver, that's why. What was that again?
The Perez house is coming here.
There we go. Hallelujah. But I want to close my message with this. The God whom you serve says, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. He says, I own the cattle on 1,000 hillsides. You know, we went several months ago. I had to go to Honolulu for some church thing. And we were staying at the Ala Moana Hotel. So there were all these, you know, porters that came. There were 4 of them. And they were so nice. They just helped carry everything and, you know, even helped me come out of the car. But the car that we had rented was kind of low. So, you know, you either go down or you go up. Well, I had to go down. Now, if we come up from the down, I had to hang on to the door. And, you know, and they're watching me. They say, Auntie, you need help. I said, oh, please, can you help me? Please, can you help me? I need help. So they helped me up. And so I told Emma, I said, Emma, go tip all these guys. So there were 4 of them. I gave her $40. I said, tip them. And then they said, oh, Auntie, no, we get tip already. Then Emma tells them, well, you know my auntie right here? She owns the cattle on 1,000 hillsides. She told him that. She told them that. And they look at me. And where is this, Auntie? I said, Kohala, where else? But see, I wasn't lying. Because my father owns it. And if my father owns it, I get a portion. Isn't that right? So if your father owns anything, you get a portion. Just hang in there. Walk right, talk right, live right. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the secret of being blessed of God.
Amen.
Live right, talk right, walk right.
Yes.
And God will bless you to overflowing. I cannot, you know, I've served the Lord for a long time. And God has never disappointed me. Never. You know, we have this tendency of, we like things happened yesterday. You know, we pray a lot. We cannot wait for it to happen. Yesterday we like to happen. But God has his own time clock. He look over here, okay, well, not ready yet. He's never premature. And he's never late.
Amen.
That's one thing about the God you serve. Never premature and never late. He will provide whatever you ask him for. He says, ask anything. Ask anything in my name. And if you believe in faith, he shall provide. Father, keep us safe throughout the afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for each one of us here this morning. Lord, bless all our ohana. Bless all our brethren, Lord. And may we never leave you out of our plans for the rest of the day. Those that need to work, Lord, we pray for traveling mercies. Those that are not feeling well, we pray for healing, Lord. Hallelujah. Those that need provisions, we pray for providing, Lord, because you are our Jehovah Jireh. You are our provider. Bless your holy name, Father. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.